Isn't it a joy that we actually are able to give? And if you're not at that place where you're able to give to the Lord, then this is how you get to that place. You start learning what does the Bible say about your finances. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Listen to me. Everybody look at me just for a second. 13, almost 14 years ago, when the Lord had Jamie and I start this church, did you hear me? When I say the Lord had us start this church, then I don't want to start it on my own. Because without the blessing of God, then the thing's not going to work. It's going to be man-made instead of God-made. I just happen to be a pastor that has spent enough time with my God that I know how to hear from him. And you that don't need to spend some more time with him. Amen? And the more time you spend with the Lord, you'll start seeing how he speaks to you. I've never heard him audibly speak to me. But I'm here to tell you he'll bring thoughts to my mind. And then all I have to do is discern where those thoughts come from. If they're an evil thought, then I know they don't come from God. Say amen to that. Because he's not the author of confusion. He's not a God that will bring a bad thought to your mind. But there is a devil. John 10:10, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he'll bring a bad thought to your mind, and then the word tells us what to do with that. If it's a bad thought, cast it out. Take it under that, when it's cast out, it's under the obedience of God. I mean, it doesn't have to stay in there, in other words. And so when God prompted Jamie and I to start this church, and anything that God starts, it won't die. Thank God, because obviously now he could bring someone else in to run his church or what he starts. Matter of fact, many times God has wanted things started and work started, like the Apostle Paul. You know, he was an apostle, and when he started works, when you read this Bible, if the Apostle Paul or anybody that God really mandated to start a work, if he didn't do it and said no to it, then he'd find someone else to do it. And so I don't want to say no to him. Amen. 13 years ago, the Lord impressed on my heart to begin to teach about finances. And that was about the very time that I asked the Lord, you know, if it was okay not to take a salary at this church. And it was a bold move because, man, God, I mean, my elders and deacons were like, "You crazy? You're not going to take a salary?" And I said, "No, because it would be an honor to be able to teach people about sowing and reaping." And here in Corinthians 2nd chapter 9, he's talking about sowing. He that sows sparingly will reap that. It's kind of like cotton. A good farmer being raised in level land in Lubbock area I wasn't raised there, but lived there for, you know, a few years, about 8 years. If the farmer only plants a acre of cotton, then that's what he's going to get, a return of an acre of cotton. But if that farmer sows a section, a square mile of cotton, he's going to get a whole lot more. Would you agree with that? It's the same way with the kingdom of God. I mean, this doesn't have to be real hard to understand. When you sow sparingly, that's what you reap. But the one that sows bountifully, oh Jesus, you'll reap that way. Why? Well, because it says it in verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. When you give to the Lord and you start that principle that God started of sowing and reaping, I'm telling you, it'll work for you. I'll show you a man or a woman that will owe no one but to love them, as the word says. But it's up to you to get into God's economy, in his system. That's how he started. And now, it'll work on the negative as well. Y'all realize that, right? I probably said it many times in here. If I come up and slap one of you upside the head, I just planted a seed. And it will harvest. Nowadays, with a bullet that goes a lot faster than you can run, it's going to harvest. So it can. The seed time and harvest happens with the good and the bad. I suggest you use it for the good. When you give to God, he'll bless you. But when you give to him, give it cheerfully in Jesus' name. Amen. So in that bucket, why don't you come give with just a big old shout of praise. Amen. If you have a visitor card, send it down with someone or bring it down and stick it in this bucket. Thank you so much for giving this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Love these sweet girls. These kids started putting in your offering or your card, and you know what it's doing? Now we're starting to increase in kids, looks like. Amen. I hope one day we'll have all the kids up here, because you know what it's teaching them? How to give, how to receive. A lot of people really know how to give, but I ought to start doing some messages on how to receive. So a lot of people don't know how to receive. And a farmer, when he plants, he's gonna cause the harvest to come, because he don't get paid if not. But anyway, praise the Lord. Thank y'all for giving. Father, every person that gave, that's given whenever to you, even if it wasn't here at this church, I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And I thank you, Lord, according to Malachi chapter 3, you said to prove me. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would cause the increase to come to the people that gave, whenever they give and however they give. And I thank you, Lord, that these finances then will be used to further the kingdom. It'll be used to pay bills. It'll be used to continue to build our churches. We're believing you, sir, to get that children's church built. And so, Father, as we believe, and we're going to do it debt-free, sir, we ask you to increase the people, increase their giving. God bless them in Jesus' mighty name. You receive that, say amen. Amen. Guys, would y'all begin to pass out? Once a month, we take communion. Communion is very important to us. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Thanks, John. Because communion is remembering, as we all know, what Jesus did for us. Several times during the first part of communion, I remind people of what the broken body did. And if your parents, the reason we left the kids in here, and you guys at the back, make sure you come and partake in communion. Don't make sure the guys come back to you. But the reason we leave the kids in here now is, Mom and Dad, you just train on them and teach them what it means to take communion, and they'll start learning the meaning of it, and there's nothing wrong with that. One day, they'll be able to decide to give their hearts to Jesus, and we want that. That's what we're here for. Amen. And so, we want the kids to be able to be a part of this. Plus, the teachers want to be able to take communion with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Y'all that are watching live, however you're watching, last week I was in San Antonio and I turned my iPhone on and started watching. And I love old Howdy. Where is Howdy? Howdy was preaching, and when he gets the anointing on him and gets excited. No. He was preaching during, when I was watching, during the offering message. Y'all be quiet. He was preaching the offering message. Now, stop talking and let me finish. And when the anointing comes on him, he talks louder. But I'm telling you, at when we rope or when he's helping me, I'm like, what'd you say? I said, what? But boy, when that anointing's on him, man, he gets bold, and I love that. Thank you, Lord. Now, I wasn't watching when Ricky was preaching, so I'll have to watch that later. Did you do good? Yes. People are like, I don't know. Yes. Of course he did. Amen. You know why? Because he preached the word. I always figure when you preach the Bible, then, you know, if someone don't believe that part, then that's between them and God. And so that's why I try not to add my opinion. I mean, that's hard to do. I mean, come on. You got to be real sometimes when you. But when you speak the word of God, it's yes and amen. Amen. This bread represents the broken body of Jesus. And the reason that we take communion is because we're remembering what his broken body did for you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not a believer in Jesus, then you need to be. It's time. It's time to stop believing all the world's junk and start believing in a God that created you. Now, with the broken body, though, when Jesus did that, he was taking on the sins of the world. That's why he's coming, being come against so terribly today than any other time, because there's power in believing what Jesus actually did for you and I. And so when we partake, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, we're doing it for a reason. Because here's what he says. And when he had given thanks, I want to thank God. God, I thank him every day for what I do. I'm so honored to be called in such a time as this. When the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. More now, marriages, oh wow, under attack. Finances under attack, health under attack, our country under attack. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus says when we give thanks and just say, and all that is just being thankful that we have a way of escaping all of the trials and tribulations of this world. We don't have to We don't have to do them on our own, in other words. Thank God we have the Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible says, cast every care upon him. That's something to be thankful for, amen? So I just want to thank him for being my God. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He said when giving thanks, he break it and said, take, eat, this is my body. This is Jesus talking, it's in red. Which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. So let's eat. Thank you, Lord. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now, you understand that we have an Old Testament, which was written from Jesus back, or before Jesus back. That was all done by law. You served God because it was a law. You did things for the Lord. It was just lawful to do that. Then obviously God knew that we needed some mercy, some grace, because there was a lot of law breaking. Amen. Matter of fact, when you read the Old Testament, when you sinned, you died. Matter of fact, they'd have to take that sin just to get forgiveness of it. And you would take it to the priest. He would take it into the Holy of Holies. They would tie a rope on his leg in case he had sin, because the glory of God, man, he'd fall over dead, and then they would drag him out. You ought to read this Bible. It's a good book. Instead of letting someone try to teach it to you, why don't you start reading it? Well, here's the good news is then when you get to Matthew on the New Testament, that's what this is talking about. Because Jesus died, and now he's the New Testament. He is the Word of God. We don't have to serve him because of law. We serve him because we want to. Amen. And that's a whole lot better, because you don't have to. You can say no. I want to have nothing to do with this God stuff. But when we serve him because we want to, man, that's a wonderful way to serve him. Not because some preacher is beating you up over the head with the Bible. No, I just have such a heart. I want to serve this Jesus that gave his life for me. So when you drink of this juice, that's what you're remembering. His shed blood that covers a multitude of sin, that gave you redemption, that gave you salvation, that gave you a redemption from the curse of the law. All those good things was because of Jesus shedding his blood. So when you drink it, do it in that remembrance, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we receive by faith what you did for us. Father, you send in your Son and Jesus that you did it. Thank you for dying for us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't mind, just pass your little cup one way or the other. Amen. Does anybody want my cup? You want it? Oh, good. Good. It's got a little left in it. I'm kidding. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. Let's get the ushers out of the way, and them kids are fixing to run. With a big round of applause, Kids Church, is the youth going? The youth and the youth group, head on out. Come on, give them a hand, y'all. Kids Church and youth group, y'all head out. Man, you'll have a blast learning about God. Let's jump into this real fast. How many brought a Bible? Let me see them. Raise up your Bible. All over this place, I want to see Bibles in this place. Because the problem is when you have to trust me to read that thing correctly, and I might skip over a line. And so I want you to get used to bring the Word of God with you, and it'll impact your life in an awesome way. Amen. Again, welcome to all the folks that are listening. We pray that you receive just what we receive here. And I realize that we're brand new as far as television, and we're believing God to have a camera over there and a camera over there, and, you know, and be a little bit bigger production and better. But hey, you got to start somewhere. Amen. And so thank God we have the availability to cause people to, that want to watch, to be able to. And so thank y'all so much for being a part of this service. And again, thank you guys for being a part of it. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Now, obviously, in these last days, and I believe we're in the last days, there's lots of attacks going on in the world. The Bible tells us in the book of James to count it all joy, though, when you fall into those diverse temptations, knowing it'll produce some things in your life, some patience, and you don't have to get down, upset, beat up, busted, disgusted, all those things that the flesh wants to do. No, you just need to get in faith and understand that there is a God and there's also a devil. There is heaven and there also is a place called hell. And listen to me. The reason that we started this church and the reason that God has ministers all over the world preaching the good news, the gospel, is so that you don't have to stay in a trial and tribulation. You can go on through it. Say amen to that. Because what happens is people stay in negativity. They stay in doubt. They stay in unbelieving everything. In other words, they got to have proof for them to be able to believe in anything. And that's the way the enemy wants a person to think, because, you know, obviously we all know that we cannot see God in the physical. Does everybody understand that? You know why? Because he's in heaven. The Bible says he's on the throne. And we cannot see Jesus, although, thank God, documented in history, Jesus walked this earth for 33 and a half years before he was crucified. But we now cannot see him. Y'all agree with that, right? Not in the flesh. Because the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. He's praying and those kind of things. So I have to have faith to believe in something that I cannot see. And I choose to believe that. Now, I see the results in the creation of God. I see the things that God created. But himself can't see. The Spirit of God, that's the third of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I can't see him, but I can feel him. Man, well, I'll be praying in a room, and when those goosebumps come on, I know the presence of God. He's there. A lot of times I'll feel like a little brushing of my hair with this, like his finger. I'm like, you know when that happens, it's like. And I'll know when the presence of God. Now, I can't see him physically, but I have faith that he's there. Amen. So what happens in our lives and as we're living is the enemy is trying to attack light-bearing people, because all of us, we want to let people see the light. I mean, we don't want them to see darkness, and that's not our nature as a believer in Jesus Christ to see people hurt, going through terrible times. Now, if that's your nature, something's wrong. you need to get delivered or saved. Say amen. Amen. Because our nature is, according to the Word of God, is to, expose, darkness with the light. And the light is Jesus. Okay? So, in Acts chapter 17, I want to read verse 16 to you. Because the Apostle Paul was dealing with a lot of things. You know, sometime at home, start reading verse 1 and read it on down. Because look what the Word says in 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now, I just thought about something because I was corrected, and I want to apologize to this group and correct something that I said a couple of weeks ago. Now, the Spirit of God was just very, very strong. We had a message, in tongues. And being a little Southern Baptist boy, that was like, oh, wow. Now, not that tongue, but just to start experiencing those things, because our preachers told us that tongues was of the devil. I never understood that, because if it's in the Bible, then I won't be a part of it. Amen. And any of my Baptist pastor friends, when they're honest with you, they'll tell you, I just don't understand that part. And I'm like, okay, that's a lot better than saying it's of the devil, because it wasn't of the devil on that day of Pentecost. And I had said something that Jesus spoke in tongues, and I was corrected. And I just told some people that I was talking to that's right, because Jesus didn't have to speak in tongues. But tongues are of the Lord. And if you've never experienced that, you need to start studying Acts, Corinthians, and so on. Because what happens is when the Spirit of God begins to move in a service like this, many times has a hush come on a crowd that I've been a part of, and God will give a message. And that's nothing to be afraid of. Man, that's all through the Bible. And I believe the reason it's happening here, and you're starting to see people physically healed here, emotionally healed here, is because what we prayed at the very beginning of this service needs to come to pass, which is Mark chapter 16 that says, these signs shall follow them that what?
Believe.
So if you don't believe, it's not going to happen. If you have to have proof for everything, then you're not going to see a lot of that. You're going to have to do it by faith. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. The devil hates the gospel, because obviously we understand that the gospel is the good news, and he hates that. He tries with all his might to extinguish the light. The enemy often attacks, and I ministered this at a minister's conference, and I've added a lot of stuff for you guys this morning, but I ministered to ministers just a few weeks ago, and I wanted them to be built up, but I want you to be built up, because the devil tries the very same thing against you as he does ministers of the gospel, because he often attacks the light bearer, the preacher. Ministers often find ourselves under attack. Not a problem for me, because I don't care. That's why I think God's calling the Western world to minister, because we're bold. I mean, we have some strong shoulders, and it's not going to hurt my feelings when I'm under attack personally. If I need to apologize, I'm humble enough to do it. Amen. So forgive me, God. But there's also a time when we need to, bow out our chest and declare this word of God is yes and amen. Say amen to that. But ministers need to stick to a mandate to preach and keep marching forward by faith. Because eventually, and this is something that you need to do, because not just ministers come under attack for preaching the good news, but obviously everybody does. Anybody that's a light bearer, which is anybody that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why don't we do that right now? I just want to know in this group, who is not afraid to let the whole world know that Jesus Christ is your Lord? Amen. Right? Because we can't be afraid of that. We're not afraid to let the uttermost parts of the world hear that Jesus is our Lord. And everything ought to be pointed back to Jesus. And if it's not, that's when you better get out of that church. But I can promise you this, everything is going to be directed at the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Because if we eventually continue and stick to the mandate that God's called us to, which is every single person, Ephesians chapter 4 says to do the work of the ministry. My job as a pastor is to help you guys do the work of the ministry, because obviously I cannot physically go to the hospital constantly praying for the sick. But you can help. All you got to do is Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If I teach you right according to the word, you don't have to have a Bible, you know, license to preach, to proclaim. All you got to do is say, hey, the Bible says in Mark 16 to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So in Jesus' name, you sick person, be healed. And then if you're smart, find a scripture like 2 Peter that says, you know, by his stripes, you're healed. And start claiming that over that person that you're praying for. Because look, I can't do it all. I do lots of counseling sessions. And so there's a lot of times when I'm just not there to go out and evangelize to the city. But you can, you see. What the enemy is trying to do to the church world, I believe today, is snuff out your light. And if he can snuff out your light and get you down, beat up, busted, and disgusted again, then that's when he's got you where he wants you, because you won't fulfill the call of God in your life. And man, I'm telling you that God wants you to fulfill his call. He wants you to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But eventually, if you'll march on forwardly by faith, the enemy will surrender to the shining light of the truth. Man, when you just tell them the truth of the word of God, that you don't have to die, you can live in Jesus' name. You don't have to commit suicide. No, rise up and get delivered from all that junk that the world is trying to bring on you. When you declare that your marriage will not be smitten and killed, that you have life in your marriage, I'm telling you, you'll start having a marriage that begins to prosper in the ways that it was designed to prosper. Your finances will begin to see the increase that you desperately need in these days, not just to get out of debt, but to actually help someone in need. You'll start seeing the signs and wonders, people being raised from the dead. Did you know it's actually happening in Mexico way down deep? People are still being healed and delivered and raised from the dead. And people are like, oh, I can't believe that. Well, okay, that's fine with me. You don't have to, but I'm going to. Sometime you need to go and just begin to read Mark 16. Man, it's a great thing. The Apostle Paul experienced the attacks of light-bearing people when he was in Athens. It was a very dark place in those times. It was full of unbelief. Everywhere Paul went and everywhere he looked, he saw idols. There were continuous warfare. There were statues, gods on every corner in the city. Athens, when you study it out, was known as an intellectual city. There were writers, world-class historians, philosophers. Athens was known for its literature, its history, its music, its philosophy. Homosexuality abounded in Athens in this day. And so wonder why Paul begins to write as he was waiting for them in Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw that the city holy was given to idols or idolatry. I begin to look up this word because being stirred is what you and I need today just to be able to survive, man. We need to be stirred about something, not just our business and our family. Man, we need to be stirred in some other areas, like in the spirit, man, where we're so stirred that we're tired of the devil stealing, killing, and destroying people that we know and love. Man, the Bible says that it's okay to be angry, a righteous anger. He just says, don't sin. Be angry, but sin not. So it's okay to get mad. I am tired of the devil ruining my life and getting a stirring, man, that you say enough's enough. And you don't have to live with that. Not God's kid. Do you realize that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Because if you don't realize that, you need to start learning who you are in Christ Jesus. You're an heir of God. That means all the promises of Him are yours if you would just dare to receive them by faith, you see. I looked up this word stirred in the Greek. It's a word that describes someone who has taken something so close to heart that it has become a sharply felt agitation to him. Or in other words, Paul, when he was stirred, didn't retreat when he saw the darkness of the city. You know what he did instead? He charged full stream ahead, waging warfare against the evil forces of that city. You see, preaching God's word is the highest form of spiritual and really spiritual warfare. The word of God has the greatest power, I wrote, available in this life to banish the forces of darkness. So when the Apostle Paul saw this stuff going on, like we see it as ministers, or you see it in your lives, the Apostle Paul saw a lot of things going on. But listen, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we hear. We all know, I've said it for 14 years here, we're not moved by the five physical senses. We're only supposed to be moved as Christians by the Word of God. Amen. And if the Word says it, as my dad taught me from a young man, just dad being a ranching cowboy, he taught me, do not sugarcoat the Word of God. Amen. If it says it, let's believe it. Amen. And I'm telling you, for all these years, it's worked for us. I mean, I know how to get out of a trial and tribulation. You know what I do? Get through it. I don't want to stay in the middle of it. How you handle it when you're going through something, how you handle that, man, that's how you get through it. Oh, if you get mad, you want to start a fight, if you want to stay right in the middle of it, you can. But I'm here to tell you, when you learn to handle things and get on through it, that's when you get on through it. But not most people don't do that. They build this tent in the middle of that trial, and they stay in it for years and years and years. And you can talk to them. Y'all might have experienced this. And you'll say the same thing trying to get them out of that trial and tribulation and get them out of that difficulty. You'll have to say the thing over and over and over. And then you'll have to repeat it the next day, because it's a lot of times they just don't get it. And months later, if they Don't submit to the Spirit of God. You'll have to say it again. Well, wait a minute, I already said that to you. Why are you still dealing with that? The very same thing that I'm trying through the Word of God to get you through is you're still confessing that junk. And before you know it, the truth of the Word stops prevailing. And they stay in that trial year after year after year. They go through the same old battle over and over. And again, all the enemy is doing is trying to steal the light from the inside of you. I want to ask you three questions real fast, and then I'm going to talk about faith for a minute, and then I'll close. What is the assignment that God's given you? When God calls us to fulfill our assignment, we've got to be willing to do what He asks and go where He sends us. But what is the assignment God's given you? Has He given you one? Why don't you ask Him, God, what is my assignment here? Because I can promise you, your assignment is not to be first a husband, or first a wife, or first a father or mother. Your assignment could be way bigger than that. Now, you're going to be a good mother, and you're going to be a good husband. You're going to be a good father and a mother. That's who God's created you to be, not a bad one, a good one. Amen? But what has He assigned you to do to further His kingdom? Number two, does it seem that you're in a hard and challenging environment? I remember when Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, began to minister in the cowboy world at rodeos and cuttings and horse shows and anywhere they would let him. Ooh, the ground was tough. It was hard. Matter of fact, he told me one day that he was at a rodeo in around Nebraska, and the cowboy rides up to him on horseback and says, "Who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm a preacher. I'm here to minister the gospel." He said all of a sudden he had a rope around his neck. That guy had roped him on that horseback and dallied off and started riding off. And he was at a trot where Glenn couldn't get it off of himself. And he's thinking, okay, Jesus, this is how I'm dying? And he said, "I plead the blood of Jesus." And that guy was, you know, is an attack. He's trying to stop the, you know, what God had assigned Glenn and Ann Smith to do at this particular rodeo. But he was winding through the vehicles at this rodeo where he couldn't get it off, and he was at a trot and praying that he wouldn't fall because the guy might have just drug him. And he said, what do you think of your God now?" He said, "Well, I still think of Him the same way. If I die, I'm going to go to heaven." And he said, "But God forgives you." The guy stopped, undallied, and said, "Get it off your neck." And that really started a move of God in the rodeo because the ground was tough. I mean, there was people that didn't want the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in the cowboy world. There was no ministers really there back in the 70s and 80s. My family came in about 1984, and it was a whole lot better because Glenn had tilled the ground. But maybe you're in a pretty hard environment right now. Well, you just need to start tilling and till that ground. Don't you give up. The third thing, are you tempted to give up? You know, I've been teaching so many people the five lessons. Number one, don't give up. Don't you give up on your marriage. Don't you give up on your faith. Don't you give up on anything. Don't have a give up spirit about you. Number two, I've been teaching them to don't be late. I've taught y'all this. Don't be late. I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Because being early shows character, integrity. Number three is always be kind. We're Christians. Man, we're supposed to be kind to people. And I'm not talking about the boldness to stand against the devil. No, I'm talking about just being kind to people. Kind to your wife or your husband. Kind to your children or children kind to their parents. We are Christians. It's time to be kind. Number four, confidence is key in anything you do. I'm talking, you want to lose it in rodeo? Woo, Jesus, you want to start going downhill, lose your confidence. I mean, start missing some steers and enemy starts attacking, getting bucked off a bull or whatever someone's event is. If you lose your confidence, you've lost a lot. If you lose your confidence in your marriage, if you lose your confidence in your mandated assignment from God, it'll stop you. Don't do that. Don't you dare give up. Confidence is key. The fifth thing is always be teachable. I want to always be teachable. I don't want to feel like I know it all. That's why I'm not afraid to say, forgive me if I said something wrong, even while I preach. God, forgive me. And you need to. Amen. Everything is going to be done by faith, y'all. Everything has to be done by faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. According to this verse, the path of faith requires a fight. A fight literally means, when you study it out, it refers to a struggle, a fight, great exertion or effort, agony, anguish, pain, distress or conflict. What are you fighting from? Well, as a believer, we, by faith, have to fight from the flesh. Flesh that resists the will of God. The mind that struggles to understand what God's told us to do. Because obviously we know that the battle is in the mind. If the devil can convince you that this book is not real, that's what he wants to do in your life. He wants you to believe that, oh, I need to have proof that God is real. Well, you're gonna be hurting. If you have to have it scientifically proven that God is real. No, I just have faith. Listen, you don't have to believe this book. You don't have to come to church. But I'm here to tell you, if you just start opening your hearts and minds to believe in this Bible, man, it'll start coming to pass in your life. Say amen, y'all. We got to start believing this, because what's the enemy doing? He's trying to rob the light out of you. He's trying to rob you of being a light bearer. He wants you to be upset every time someone comes against you. He wants you to be defensive constantly. No. Don't you allow the enemy to rob your light. Jesus, if he's the Lord of your life, he's on the inside of you. He's the light of this world. It's up to you then to believe in that light. Now listen, and I'll start closing. Circumstances that seem to stand in the way are what we're fighting from. We're trying to fight against people that oppose us. The devil himself, who throws his weight against every step of faith we take. Anything that's done in faith will require a fight. Because again, the devil is going to try to convince you that this Bible is not truth. What I want you to be convinced of, though, is that God's real. He's a real God. There's times in my life when I've said, God, oh God, I need you to intervene in this situation. You know what God always says to me? I already have. I've already done it. I've already intervened. It's going to take you by faith to pick up the truth of the Word of God. Start believing my Word, man. And see, that's all God's trying to say this morning. And so, as we close and we get this faith built up into us as soldiers, the soldiers of God that Christians represent, because listen, we represent the kingdom of God, the Bible. I want to confess a prayer that, just a confession that we all need to stand on as the enemy begins to try to rob us of the light. He tries to rob the light bearers. And ladies and gentlemen, in this room and in those that are watching, we're not going to let him. We're going to let the light shine more than anything in this dark world. Because it's dark out there. And we need to let the light shine. So I want you to confess this prayer with me. You ready? Because I believe God's calling us to stand up and fight for what we believe. So let's declare this out loud, out of our mouth. You ready? Say, I boldly declare that God knows exactly what I'm facing. I'm not fighting this good fight of faith by myself. The Holy Spirit lives in me and fills me with His power. Enough power to resist any opponent that would try to stop me from fulfilling God's plan. Today I yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to fill me to the brim with His power that resists every opposing force and endures strong to the end, so that I can say, in this fight, until it's over, I've won the victory. In Jesus' name. Now give God some praise. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 9 that if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth, it says if you'll confess Him as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, the King James uses this word called thou shalt be saved. The question this morning is, are you saved? Y'all that are watching, are you saved? If you're saved, thank God. If you're not born again, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, I want you to do it right now. This is Romans 10 and 9 that we're going to confess. I like John chapter 14, verse 6. It says that Jesus Christ, not some preacher, not some church, not some denomination, Jesus. That Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The only way to get to the Father is by Him. I'm asking you this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you've never done that. You see, I don't want you to go to a place called hell. That's what the Bible says happens to people that say no to Jesus. But He's saying, please, confess me as Lord, and I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In that part of John 14, it talks about mansions in heaven, how He's gone to prepare that for you. But you have to give your life to Him. So the question is, have you done that? Have you ever said, Jesus, come into my life and save me and be my Lord? If you've never done that, I'm going to ask you to do that right now. You notice I can't make you. I can't make anybody. There's no preacher that can make you do anything. Not even God Himself will make you do anything. He's given you a free will. You can say no as well as you can say yes. I'm asking you right now to say yes and receive Jesus as Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask those that have never given their life to you, to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer out loud with me. But I'm also going to ask all this congregation to pray it as well. And we'll just pray it with you if you've never given your life to the Lord. You've never prayed and ask Jesus to come into your life, do it right now and we'll all pray it with you. Ready? But you're going to have to do it out loud. That's what the Bible says. Confess it. Don't be ashamed of it. So let's pray that right now. If you're here again, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell when you die. Choose heaven right now by praying this prayer. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Church, would you pray it as well? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe you've been raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, you look up. While your heads are still bowed, just for a second. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to never be ashamed of telling people that Jesus is now your Lord. But what I'm going to do with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting, and even if you're watching, if you just gave your life to Jesus, when I say three, I just want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I said that prayer in a minute. I gave my life to you this morning in Jesus' name. Would you do that? If you just prayed that prayer with boldness, I want you to confess it before the Father. And Jesus says, if you'll do that, I'll confess you before the Father. If you just gave your life to Jesus, all you're doing is confessing it before me, a man. Don't ever be ashamed of that. So when I say three, if you did that and gave your life to the Lord this morning, raise your hand up, put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. Anybody? All right, look at me, y'all. Very seldom do we have people that don't get saved here. That's okay. But that just means that there's more people out there that need to hear about Jesus. Amen? So bring them. Start getting them here. I'm so honored that this church is growing, and let's keep it that way. Amen? We're going to keep preaching that word. But before, as we leave this place, I want you to always remember, don't allow that devil to rob your light. Amen? Keep a smile on your face. God is a wonderful God in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Just a couple of quick...